makes redemption the purchase of blood. To every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Brother Wyatt, would you open us up in prayer? Amen. Please remain standing and turn to page 252, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Page 252, Higher Ground, 252. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, the higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, the higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here. Is this baby on? All right, yeah. I haven't figured out how to run the button yet. So anyway, good to see everybody. And got a couple announcements here. They've got a Fall Western Costume Party October 27th. It's a Friday evening. This is for the teenagers. Dinner and games are included. And it's at the Covington's residence over there, just this side of Montana City, 47 Meadowlark Lane, Clancy, 59634. And Brother Ryan, would you stand? And Kayla, and is this junior high tour or just senior high? senior high. Anyways, talk to one of these two or call them at 459-6085. And it sounds like fun. And like I said, Wednesday, as long as there's food there, I might even show up. There's food and games and all kinds. It says dinner and game. I read it last time and I didn't even see dinner. So it sounds like fun. Anyways, that's for the teenagers. And then in the foyer at the door there, there's a box. How many saw that box with the tablets and that? Brother Rick D'Amato brought those in. Those are free for the taking. Now, if you're like me, you'll probably use a tablet a day to remind myself to write myself a note on a tablet. So anyway, they're handy. We go through those tablets like nobody's business, writing notes and stuff like that. So are they still out there right next to the door in a box? Are they out there? They are, okay. Yeah, take them if you would. And then also, if you'd like, rather. And then they'll share a blessing box is out there also. Where do I go? Oh yeah, share a blessing box. There will be a box in the foyer starting next week. Well, that's this week. Once again, the LBC would like to be a blessing to families in need. Thank you. So there's a share a blessing box. Bring some kind of food or that. Not just for Thanksgiving, but any kind of food to help somebody out. And we'll be able to be a blessing to somebody. And what else is going on? Did I get everything? We're good. Thank you for being here. What a great day.
All right, please join me in a stand once again. Grab a hymnal, turn to page 253. 253, meet me there on the happy golden shore where the faithful part no more. When the storms of life are over, meet me there. Page 253, meet me there. On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. When the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going home to stay, meet me there. Meet me there, meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on that happy golden shore, no more, meet me there. All right, we're going to sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake on the second. Here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent in twain, but in heaven no throb of pain, meet me there. By the river sparkling bright, in the city of delight, where our faith is lost in sight, meet me there. Thank you.
you find your place, join me to the last verse of page 253. Meet me there on the last, where the harps of angels ring and the blasts forever sing, and the palace of the king. Meet me there, where in sweet communion blend heart with heart and friend with friend, in a world that ne'er shall end. Meet me there, meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there, when the storms of life are o'er, on that happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more. Meet me there. Amen. All right. Do we have any ushers this morning? No? Thank you, Brother Charles and Brother Ryan. Brother Charles, would you ask the blessing on our offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being able to be in your house this morning. Thank you for all your many blessings, Lord, and for the beautiful fall we've been having. And just thank you for our pastor and for the words of life that he gives us, Lord, and from you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your blessings today, Lord. Lord, we pray for our offering now, and that you would bless the money that we freely give, Lord, and bless that we keep back for our families, Lord, that it would go far. And we pray for our missionaries and the minister here, and that you would bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Kayla. This time we're going to have a special by Savannah and Sedona.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul. gold or silver, only you can satisfy. Your lonely will, joy giver, and the apple of my eye. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
God honors faithfulness. You guys are using your gift. Is that your, what is that, your 11th or 12th special now? That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. We should never be as scared to serve the Lord and never be as scared to use our gifts for Him. He's given us each and every one of us gifts. And I just, wow. Thank you. We're in, if you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 9. All right, this comes. This article is out of the Washington Post, May 12, 2015. Christianity is on the decline in America. Christianity is on the decline in America. How many of us, without an upraised hand, but how many of us could agree, yes, there certainly is a decline of Christianity in America, not just among younger generations or in certain regions of the country, but across race, gender, education, and geographical barriers. It says here, the percentage of adults who describe themselves as Christians dropped by nearly 8 percentage points in just 7 years to about 71%. According to a survey by the Pew Research Center. I thought that was sort of ironic, the Pew Research Center. But anyways, it's remarkably widespread, said Ellen Cooperman, director of religion research for the research center. The country is becoming less religious as a whole. And it's happening across the board. At the same time, the share of those who are not affiliated with a religion has jumped from 16% to 23% in the same period. The trend follows a pattern found earlier in the American Religious Identification Survey, which found that in 1990, 86% of American adults identified as Christians, compared with 76% in 2008. We've seen, and we can agree, that there is a decline of the relevancy of Jesus Christ across America. Jesus Christ is not relegated to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, as He once was. Now Jesus Christ is relegated to nothing but a swear word, a cuss word, a joke. We see it in Bible, even in Bible teaching and preaching Baptist churches. The decline or the relevancy of Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, we see it here at Liberty Baptist Church. The decline of Christianity, the decline of the relevancy of Jesus Christ. We see it here at Liberty Baptist Church because some of us don't make time for Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to point fingers. I am not here to point fingers. Because time is valuable. And we are busy. And we have oodles and oodles of things to do. But we seem to have a lot, of time for different things and not make time for Jesus Christ. We may see it within not only this church, but within our own families and our own lives. Why? Why is there a decline of Christianity in America? Why is there a decline, a deterioration of the relevancy of Jesus Christ in our churches today, in this church, in our lives today? I believe today, if we look at the Ark of the Covenant, it'll help us answer this question. Why? Look at, if you will, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Now, well, look at verse 3 here. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, speaking of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and there was a veil between the holy place and the holy of holies. And that holy of holies, the high priest, and him alone once a year, could go through the pass through the veil and commune with the God of gods, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and apply the blood to the mercy seat. The mercy seat sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And we see here in verse 4 with the Ark of the Covenant, which had the golden censer, and which had the golden censer, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. There were three things in the Ark of the Covenant when Moses, after they built the ark, after they built the tabernacle, after the laws of the priests in Leviticus. And there were three, after going through the wilderness, there were three things placed in the ark. The manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the law. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to please be with us. Help us. Oh, dear God, search us and try us and prove us where we are today with you. In our relationship with you. Dear God, I pray that you open our hearts, eyes, and ears to what you have us this morning and learn and read and help us to obey, Lord. Please, God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for putting you on the back burner. Dear God, we thank you for your word. And dear God, I also ask you, Lord, if you'd please speak to those who may not know you as Savior, who do not know you as Savior. I pray today that they might come forward and see from the Bible, the Word of God, how to know you as Savior and have eternal life and know and be assured of their home in heaven. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Items found within the ark. First of all, manna. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 32, verse 34, Moses said, "This thing the Lord commanded, fill an omer." An omer is a volume, a measure of volume. It's about 10 cups. "Fill an omer to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, and I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." Manna means, what is it? This stuff come from the sky. And they asked, what is it? Well, it was manna from God, angels' food from God to feed his people while they traveled through the wilderness. And then we see, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. The Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept in the ark of the testimony." We see Aaron's rod in Numbers chapter 17. There were people who were arguing about how come Aaron gets to be in charge of the priesthood. How come Aaron gets to do that? How come Aaron gets to do that? People moaning and groaning. Finally, God says, here, let's settle it once for all. Take every leader of every tribe, the 12 tribes, take an almond rod, put it in a tent, and the next morning, wake up, go look at the tent and see what happens. Went to the tent, and guess what happened? Every other rod, 11 of them were deader than a doornail. But, and they put their names on the rod. Aaron's rod budded. It was alive, and it brought forth fruit. It showed, number one, the authority that of God, that Aaron was to lead the people religiously, the Levites. And number two, it budded. It bore fruit. It was alive. Everything else was dead. It was alive. And so then this rod that budded, God said to put this in the ark of the testimony, as a witness to the people. So here we have the manna, the bread that come from heaven. We have Aaron's rod that budded, that showed the authority, and it was made alive, put in the ark of the testimony. And the third thing, the tables of the law. We see about the tables of law in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And at that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone, Moses speaking, like unto the first, and come up to the mount and make thee an ark of wood. And God says to Moses, and I will write upon the tables of the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. The tables of the law, the word of God, in the tables of the ark, along with manna and the Aaron's rod, almond rod that budded, showing authority and life. This ark, with these things in it, is a picture of Christ. How is it? How are these three things a picture of Christ? First of all, manna. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is our sustainer. He's our provider. Jesus Christ is our bread of life. And that's a picture of Jesus Christ, the ark of the testimony. First of all, the manna. What about the almond rod that budded? For the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus Christ, listen. You are here this morning, and I want you to know that you do not gain eternal life by being in a Baptist church. A person does not gain eternal life by baptism. A person does not gain eternal life by tithing, although it is a good thing, and it's commanded of God to tithe. But it has nothing to do with eternal life. The only way that one can gain or obtain eternal life is to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. He's the only one that can forgive sins. A church cannot forgive sins. A priest cannot forgive sins. A pastor, a reverend cannot forgive sins. Man cannot forgive sins, but God only can forgive sins. And the only way to eternal life is to have our sins forgiven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered from your sin or the penalty of sin. It's through Jesus Christ. And the almond rod that budded is a picture of Jesus Christ in that manner. Jesus Christ has eternal life, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can give that eternal life. The ark is a picture of Christ, not only because of the manna, because of the almond rod that budded, but what about the word of God, the tablets? Jesus Christ says, think that I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I am come to fulfill. Jesus Christ is the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The ark is not only a picture of Jesus Christ, but it's a picture of the believer. The Word of God is instruction. The Bible says in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I delight in thy will, O God, yea, that thy law is within my heart. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. Those of us who are saved as believers in Jesus Christ, who have trusted Jesus Christ, the Word of God is in our heart. And it convicts through the Holy Spirit of what's right and wrong. And we trust the Word of God. And we hide it in here that we might not sin against the Most Holy One. The ark is a picture of the believers, the manna for food, for growth, for sustenance, spiritual growth and spiritual sustenance. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 reads, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." We should learn for this milk of the word that we can grow. It's a picture of the believer not only with manna and instruction, the word of God, but what about the almond rod? New life. To be born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "And ye, you who he hath quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now if you take your, remember our question at the beginning. Why the decline of Christianity in America? Let's turn our Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. Israel was God's chosen people. And Israel called for a king, and there was King Saul, and then David succeeded. David came after Saul, and and then after Saul came Solomon, and Solomon fell in love with an Egyptian woman. And then he had X number of wives and all that kind of stuff, and then he went crazy. And then the kings after him followed, and Israel was in decline, and Israel started, what the Bible says, a whoring after other gods. They had a spiritual, intimate spiritual relationship with other gods, with groves, with Balaam, many gods. They forsook the God of their fathers, and Israel went into great decline. They were taken into captivity by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and finally by the Persians. Israel became nothing but a byword in time. Israel became a joke to the nations around them. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived. Now this nation is nothing. It's broken, it's crushed. How in the world could that happen to a nation like Israel, who was chosen of God to bring the Messiah into the world? Who was chosen by God to bring the oracles of God into this world? How in the world could Israel deteriorate to such a condition that they became nothing but a joke? We find the answer here in 1 Kings. Chapter 8, verse 9. "There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there in Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt." They've got the law, the two tables of stone, but there's no rod that budded. Aaron's rod's not there. There's no manna in there. I'm spiritualizing this passage. It's not the reason, literally. We're going to spiritualize this passage and apply it to the decline of Israel and apply it to our question this morning. Why is Christianity in decline across the world, America, churches, families, and Liberty Baptist Church? For the same reason that Israel deteriorated. Number one, there was no manna. They were not fed. Remember, Jesus says to Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." What did he mean to Peter? Go cook them stew and corn on the cob and biscuits and gravy and feed my sheep? No, he's told Peter to feed my sheep. The manna of God, the word of God, the words of God, to feed them spiritually that they could exist and succeed. Feed my sheep. But here we see in the ark that there was no manna. Some of us don't read our Bibles. We starve. It's like a baby not fed. They become hungry They become cranky. They cry and moan. And if they're not fed for after a while, then they come to the emergency room. And the diagnosis in the emergency room for a baby like that is failure to thrive. Oh my goodness. How many of us this morning are failing to thrive because we starve ourselves? No manna. We're not being fed. Maybe it's the preaching. Maybe it's the teaching. Maybe we're not here on a regular basis. Maybe we don't read our Bibles. But some of us here this morning may be failing to thrive. And that might be a reason why there's a decline of Christianity in America this morning. Is because we have made a choice. It's a choice not to be fed. I'll say it. A lot of us don't have time. Hello. A lot of us don't make time. It's a choice. We can blame it on all the things of this world and all the things that are important. And our reason may be that there are a lot of things that take precedence over the Word of God and studying the Word of God and being fed by the Word of God. But it boils down to a choice. God is not going to force feed His Word down our throats. And neither is your pastor. I am not going to pound on your door and ask you to check off how many verses you read, how many chapters you've read this morning. I'm not going to pound on your door and say, how come you are not at church? Because I can do that. Now, I'm capable of doing that. I text or call on the phone or pound on your door. But can I ask, can I say this? Is it going to change anything? No. It's going to upset you. And it's going to upset me. I don't like to be upset. You don't like to be upset. It's a choice. I'm begging you this morning, make more time for the Lord. Nourish yourselves. Not because a pastor says so, or not because it'll help me out, and not necessarily to help God out. God has your better interest at heart, and He wants you to be fed. He does not want you to fail to thrive. Not only, it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to obey the word of God. We don't know what to obey if we don't read it. Not only obey, but share the Word of God. I got an old buddy, and he's poor as a church mouse. And we'll do things on a semi-regular basis. And one time I forgot my lunch, and we're way up on the hill. And he doesn't have much. He's got a little itty-bitty sack full of sausage and cheese. And you know what he did? He said, oh, tough luck. No. He gave me half of his sausage and half of his cheese. Because he loves me. My old buddy, he's rougher than a cob. He got saved, I don't know how many years ago, but you probably wouldn't know it because he said, 50 years of tough, tough, hard life. But he loves me. And he's willing to share a couple pieces of sausage and some cheese with me. When was the last time we've shared the Word of God? We've opened the bread of life with those that we love. God commands us to do that. Not only was the manna missing in 1 Kings chapter 8 and 9, only the tables were there, but there was no rod, no Aaron's rod was there. No life. Just an empty box with an inanimate tables of stone. No life. Every one of us this morning needs to ask the question, do I have the quickening Spirit of God within me? Am I really saved? Or am I just playing games? Am I at church this morning because it's an exercise? I'm at church this morning because it's something that God expects me to do? Why am I here this morning? Am I really saved? Do I have the life of the Lord in me? Am I born again? The Bible says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And being born again of the Spirit, not just of the flesh, but being born again of the Spirit, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking Him to forgive you of your sin. Here's the characteristics of the child of God, the evidence of being born again. Number one, do I have a sense of freedom? Do I have peace in my soul? The peace of God that passes all understanding because I know I've been forgiven. What about this one? Do I possess a love for others? Do I love others or I just tolerate others? Do I love others or simply bypass them because I ain't got no time for them? Is there true repentance in my life? A turning of mind and heart from sin? Do I have a frequent, instinctive, and here's the key, instinctive desire to pray? Do I only pray when things go wrong? Or do I instinctively pray and have a desire to pray because I have a relationship with the Father? Do I have an interest in turning to God's Word? Do I have an interest? Do I want to learn? Do I have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word? Or it is something that I keep in my car seat until I come to church so I can look like the rest of the Baptists and fool them and maybe fool myself. Am I born again? Do I have life? Do I have a growing sensitivity to sin? Am I more bothered now by sin than I was when I made a profession of faith? Or does it not bother me? Or does it bother me the same? It's not a big deal. Do I have an attitude of willing obedience to God? Do I desire to obey God because I love Him? Or do I have a desire to obey God because I don't want to get chastised? I don't want to miss out on blessings. If it's one of those two and not because I love Him, then I had better ask myself this serious question, am I born again? Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Or did I just say the words? Did I just say a prayer? Saying a prayer will not get us to heaven. I know we use a lot of time, we'll say a prayer, but it's not the prayer that gets us to heaven. It's the heart behind the prayer. It's the heart, the spirituality behind the words. Did I just say a prayer, an empty worded prayer? Or am I truly a born again child of God with my sins forgiven? Do I have an impulse to witness to others? Is it that big a deal to witness to others, or am I too busy? Do I have a burden for souls? Do I have the same heart that God has for souls, a broken heart. When was the last time I wept or grieved over someone being lost? If I never have, then maybe I better ask this question this morning. Maybe I might even be a member of Liberty Baptist Church, but maybe you're not saved. Maybe you made a profession of faith based on words and not heart. We're studying the book of Tribulation. You know, after the tribulation, those who do not trust Christ as Savior stand before the great white throne judgment and are judged for their sins and are cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And God is the one that judges. And God judges those for their works out of the books as opposed to those who are found in the Lamb's book of life. And God is a just judge. And God is truth. And one might ask, well, how in the world can a loving God send someone to hell or send someone to the lake of fire forever? Because God has clearly told us in His Word that there is no sin allowed in heaven. Our God is holy. If our God were not holy, He would not be God. If our God were not holy, there would not be a standard to attain. If our God were not holy, He would not have sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a holy God. He loved us so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to pay our sin debt, so that we would not have to go to the lake of fire forever. Do I have the burden for others not to be sent to the lake of fire forever? If it doesn't even affect me, then maybe we have to ask ourselves this question: am I truly born again? Or am I just playing games? There are three reasons why the evidence of being born again, a child of God, why the evidence is not there. Number one is, maybe it's so masked and shrouded and veiled by my sin. Maybe you've sinned so much that the evidence of being born again isn't there anymore. What about this? Maybe you don't care. Or you're not saved. I can't think of any others. Not only did that rod bud and have life, but it brought forth fruit. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Maybe you're saved this morning, but you have zero fruit or little to no fruit. Why is Christianity in decline across America, churches and families? The answer is because the Christian life is in decline. Without the rod that's alive, that blossoms and gives forth fruit, it's no wonder that the believer's life in Christianity is in decline. If we're not moving forward, we're dying. Without manna, being fed, taking time to read the Word of God or pray or get fed by the sustainer of life, again, it's no wonder that Christianity is in decline in America. We want to point our fingers to this person, to that organization, to the politicians, to Satanists, to agnostics, to this and that. Hello, the decline of Christianity is only because there's a decline in the life of a Christian. We're supposed to be the light of the world. It's no wonder the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. We're responsible. We're at a Baptist church. We go through Sunday school. And we go meticulously, line by line, precept upon precept, and we look at other people and say, well, they don't have the right Bible. And I do believe the King James Bible is the Word of God for English-speaking people. But we look at other people, and we're so easy to blame. No, they don't have the right Bible. They don't have the right teaching. They don't know their Bible. They don't know how this word is used. They don't. But you know what? We can have the Word of God, and we can slice and dice it and dissect it properly. But without the Spirit of God within us, it doesn't mean a thing. We can have the tables of law, but if we don't have the Spirit of God within us, we will have no evidence or characteristics of one who's saved. We won't have fruit in our life. Why? Maybe because you've put God on the back burner. Made a conscious decision not to make time for Jesus Christ. It's easy to go downhill. Isn't it easy to go downhill? Hey, gravity rules. We don't have to do anything to go downhill. It just happens. We have to make a cognizant decision to not only trust Christ, but to live for Him, to read about Him, to obey Him. He wants us to have fruit. We're going to have an invitation. The decline of Christianity is the result of the decline of the believer. We can know the tables of law, but without new life, we're going to deteriorate. We're going to go downhill. We can know the tables of law, but without fruit, we're going to deteriorate. We can know the tables of law, but if we don't get fed, we're going to deteriorate and decline. And ask this question, why is Christianity on decline in America? We have to look at ourselves this morning. Without the Spirit of God, there's no life. It might be a physical life here on earth. But without the Spirit of God, for eternity, as a place separated from God forever, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, for he who hath the Son hath eternal life. He who hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's heaven or hell. Are you just playing games? Are you coming to church? Faking out God, faking out yourself, faking out others, but can never fake out God. Is there fruit in your life? Why not? Maybe you've put Christ on the back burner. Refusing His authority in your life this morning. My prayer is, my request is this morning, is that we not be an almost empty ark with just the tables of stone. If the ark's a picture of the believer, we should have the tables of stone. We should nourish ourselves with the Word of God daily and have the rod of life, the authority of Jesus Christ in our life, the Spirit of Christ alive in our hearts, trusting Him and knowing Him as Savior. If we're an empty ark, the results aren't pretty, just like in Israel. Sin, rebellion, discontentment, guilt, and regret for missed opportunities to serve Jesus Christ. Won't you come this morning? Get things right. Make time for Jesus Christ. Make time for reading the Bible. If you're not saved this morning, there'll be an opportunity. Someone can show you how you can know you go to heaven from the Bible, not by church doctrine, not by what some people believe, but what God says in His Word. What song are we going to sing?
218.
218 this morning. Heaven is your home. If you're sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, would you raise your hand this morning in testimony of that? You can put your hands down. How many here this morning could not lift their hand and say, you know what, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me that I might know without a doubt that heaven is my home, that Jesus Christ is my Savior? Would you raise your hand this morning? Raise your hand this morning, please. There are no hands. I trust that everybody knows Christ as their Savior. How many of us this morning then might say, you know what, there's little or no fruit in my life. Would you pray for me that there might be fruit? Would you pray for me that I might make more time? Would you pray for me that I might not be an almost empty ark without manna, without the rod that budded? Would you raise your hands this morning? Well, their hands all over. We're all in the same boat. You can put your hands down. We're all in the same boat. You're not alone. We got this thing called the flesh fighting us all the time. You're not alone. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, please help us. Please help us, Lord, to do what's right. Please give us a burden for the lost. Please help us bear fruit for your glory. Dear God, forgive us for not making time, for not making room for Jesus. Dear God, please give us the grace to make more room, more time for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. One more stanza. If you'd like to come this morning, there's an opportunity. One more stanza.
Swing the hearts door widely open.